You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Bob, I don't like it with shows before us now. Like, we own the place. We should have more autonomy.
Tell them to get out earlier.
I don't like it.
This is episode 269 of the IT and the D Show. Guests this week include Stephanie Menard, Tom Hutchinson. They're from a new independent comic called Antoinette. Should be a great, great conversation. Also, we got a little bit of a Theater Bazaar recap. This should be a fun talk as well. Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy Spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my boo-boos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly. Come on.
Stop crying. What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier from X-Men Evolution. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit on my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT and the D.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome, what's going on? This is episode 269, the one and only IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Randy, I do the Twitter's Walkers in a different seat and I don't like it.
I don't either.
Yeah.
You just don't like it because he's closer to you.
He's doing the Twitters. No, Ed's between us. That's all right. You can find us online at itinthed.com. Do us a favor. Give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Almost every day, we hear something on the news about a cyber.
I'm sorry. In a world.
That's where I was going. You'll get there.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Almost every day, we hear something on the news about a cyber attack. Sometimes it's just a bunch of pranksters. But more often, it's a foreign country with vast cyber resources trying to hack our power grid, our banking systems, or our military's information networks. The National Security Agency plays a big part in protecting our country from cyber attacks, and you can help. The NSA is hiring technical professionals to serve on the front lines of information security. If you work in computer science, networking, programming, or electrical engineering, you can help keep our country safe. Design new hardware systems and networks. Write faster, smarter programs. Protect America's critical infrastructure. Or help uncover what our adversaries are planning to do next. Learn more about careers at the National Security Agency today. Visit intelligencecareers.gov/NSA. That's intelligencecareers.gov/NSA.
Three men with a podcast.
Only you can prevent international hacking.
I figured it was much better than like, hey, visit this website right now. Because
hey, everybody.
It just doesn't work.
Work for the NSA. Where you get to steal iPads at the airport.
No, Bob, that's
the TSA.
Oh, yeah. Crap. Sorry. Yeah. Never mind. Do us a favor. Mark your calendars. This Thursday, the 18th, IT and the D, casual social. We're going to be at the Detroit Shipping Company. Rain or shine.
Is it going to be warm?
Oh, we'll go inside otherwise.
What am I, the weatherman?
Chuck Gatica?
It's going to be cold.
In a world where a meetup happens.
So it's, and
this is going to be the voice for the entire show.
The entire show.
The entire show. Three
Detroit Shipping Company, Midtown Detroit, right on Peterborough and Cass. It's a great time, great venue. IT and the D, you know the rules. No cover, no speakers, no sponsors, no buttholes. Just IT folks talking shop and hanging out and having a beer or not. It's really up to you. I don't know what you want to get out of it. If you guys missed it, Dave and I did a little cool little spot.
Dude, it came out really, really well.
Yeah, it did. I thought, you know,
on Channel 7.
We spent about 2 hours with Anu Prakash, and I forgot the camera guy's name, but he was awesome.
Dude, that was the best part of that is like, hey, we're going to do a quick little thing. We're going to meet you guys there at 10 in the morning. You'll be out like in 20 minutes. It'll be a piece of cake.
Two hours later,
we're like having lunch and feeding her pad Thai rolls.
Right, we're sharing lunch and doing shots.
We were not doing. Do not put that on her.
I'm
we were
just
not
kidding. We didn't do it. We offered.
We offered.
It was a spot on podcasting in Detroit, and we were at the shipping company talking about podcasting and properties of podcasting. It was kind of cool.
Yeah,
it was a great segment. Y'all really represented well, nice and clean. They told a good story.
Yeah, they edited us well. You know,
we edit well.
I kept getting texts that I look bloated, you know, but what are you going to do?
How many cameras were on you?
Tommy looked. Is it me or does Tommy look bloated? I got that like three times. But no, it was a really cool spot, and it was like one of those things where like, God, that was like better than like what we are. It's like they like completely, completely oversold us.
Because I did, I watched it and again. Like as I wanted to see it like when I wasn't all geeked up and you know whatever. And it came off like and drinking it came off like an infomercial.
Totally did.
Like it went like it was so good.
Vince, you're gonna love our nuts.
Right.
Our sweaty balls.
And if you act now, you get an hourly rate discount.
No, how much would you pay?
First time subscribers.
Code IT and the D at checkout.
Yeah, exactly. Code IT and the D. But then this weekend, we had a blast. We had our guest a couple weeks ago was from Theater Bazaar, and we lived in the moment. I was a guest on Friday, and I worked there on Saturday. Nuri DJed. Randy worked alongside me on Saturday. I'm not going to lie. It would be hard to find a better party in this country.
It is probably the largest Halloween party in the world, and it's the world's greatest masquerade all day long.
That's put on in a venue that gives it justice. Like when we talk about changing the light bulbs, like my wife, we went on Friday at the Tuxedo Gala or whatever, and she was marveling at like just the pumpkin setups and like the table settings, whatever the hell you call it.
I saw the pumpkin carving room in the kitchen off of the fountain ballroom, and there were thousands and thousands of pumpkins. Every one of those jack-o'-lanterns is a real pumpkin
right.
that is hand-carved by a volunteer. It's absolutely incredible.
Well, and so Dan Dugan came over to the Shipment Container place. I think it was Thursday, Friday. When were you? When did Neil show up and Wacky Mayhem ensued?
Wednesday.
He came over and he like had a full like leather butcher apron on and was apparently like just going nuts with pumpkins and all that kind of stuff. And he came over to just like take a break and have a drink and talk. It was
no,
great.
But I just look at like the planning that went on. Randy and I sat in the observatory room. Which is basically, it's a 4 hours, it starts at 10 p.m., ends at 2, and it's basically 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 shows for 5 minutes, and then one big show for 35 minutes. Like, basically, it's either contortionists or whatever the hell's going on. And the planning and the scheduling that goes on to get something that flawlessly off the ground is unbelievable to me.
It's amazing. It's gorgeous. You really cannot imagine what this thing is like unless you've been there. And there are still tickets available for next weekend, I hear.
Is there really?
Yeah, hop on it now because there won't be
fun. But like, so the difference, the Friday night thing, so I saw both. Friday night had 400 or 500 people. Saturday had 4,000 or 5,000. And you could tell because I don't, you know, I'm a grown man. I don't like standing in lines anymore. And, you know, that's one of the things I'll gladly spend. And it's open bar. So like we said, okay, we didn't want to get stupid. So we paced
and
ourselves.
And tickets just sold out.
No, right. No. Yeah, no.
In a world
where there's open bar. And they poured like half and halves. And they only had, the only problem, I'm going to say, like they had Pabst in the cooler. And I go, give me a PBR. She goes, that's for Saturday. And I go, you can't have it staring at me and not give me one. You can have a short sour. I'm like, I'm drinking Jack and Ginger. So.
Really? Like just personal or professional?
Jack and Ginger?
You were drinking Jack and Ginger?
Yeah. Sorry. That wasn't funny. Your other stuff was funnier. This is swing and a miss. But like, they had the curated, like you saw all the rooms and the Hailing Zombo or whatever, like the you know, how he turned into the dead guy. I still don't understand that, but that's all right.
It's all right. Yeah, I DJ'd from 12 to 2 and I hung around until 4. I got home at 5 and I was just dead. Like I had nothing left and I'm still suffering. That was not my movie phone voice. That was my actual voice right now.
Right.
That last ad.
So. Well, that was the thing. We stayed at the Marriott Renaissance Center, and nice. I had to wake up for makeup at 10 in the morning after being out till 2:33, and then I had to do it all over again, and then I got home at 4. Because I'm dumb.
Because you're dumb.
Oh, yeah, totally. It was worth every minute. That was one of the better weekends, even though that was the longest weekend of my life. Like, oh, my God. Like, you don't get anything like this. Like, So Google,
Google. Hi. The podcast you're trying to call is using a screening service.
Yeah.
You'll get a copy of this message.
Yeah, so Google's introducing in their new Nexus phones, basically.
A call screening app that is so cryptically named.
Call screening app. Yeah.
I wonder if the department that names their projects was just out for like Burning Man or something. Yeah. And,
no, here's the thing.
It's better than Google Duplex.
Well, if I ever call you and you do a screening app, you can eat. My ass, like there's, it's not happening. Like
simple solution,
I don't
call me.
All right, I can or I have to.
No,
I feel like
no, you won't. No, but so like, answer me a question. Like on settings, like if I have your number in my phone, it should not give the screen thing. But if it's a not number,
yeah, if you're a contact,
then it's fine.
You should blow right through.
I think you turn it on, right? So it's not it's an unrecognized number. I get those all day long, right?
I'm just swiping left, and if they leave me a voicemail, then
I swipe left.
But
what's really interesting, they've given you the exact text of what the thing's going to say. If you were a smart company who was doing spamming, how long is it going to be until they evolve to change that so it actually, like, it's your mother? Like, I mean, how useful is this going to be in the long term if it's so easy?
Why are you trying to call Nuri?
It was
it's your mother.
Was it kind of like when we were like 10 years old and you'd call collect and call home because we didn't have a quarter?
Like, we had a baby, it's a boy.
Collect call, yeah. Collect call from, we're done bowling, mom. Come pick us up. Like,
I hope I'm in jail. Please give me
no.
I'm in Orient Road.
Ways you should contact me. Text, messenger, email, climbing through my window. Call me.
Okay, Joe Hakeem. He just posted that.
Or Dawson from Dawson's Creek.
No. What's wrong with calling people? See, I don't know. There's a lost art.
I don't want to talk to anybody.
I don't want to talk to you, so there.
I'll never call you, Randy, I promise.
But then, so last week, we gave a little eulogy to our friends at Google Plus, the gym membership of the internet.
There were a lot of really interesting stories about this
week. There was. And the one that caught my eye was the...
Well, and for those who aren't catching that reference, we always said, basically LinkedIn is your office online. If it wouldn't be weird for you to stop by the office or call me at the office, yes, yeah. We should be LinkedIn connections. Facebook is my living room. If it wouldn't be weird, and I always preface this by saying, if I wouldn't think it's weird and I came home and found you in my living room, yes, we should be Facebook friends. Eddie, that is not an open invitation. Twitter was always the Game of Thrones of the internet. I mean, now there's 240 characters. I still have no idea what the hell's going on. Google Plus was the gym membership of the internet. Everybody rushed to join, and then nobody actually went.
Right, and that's the so here's the part that is funny. Like, their top executives basically said they stopped using Google Plus up to 3 years ago.
Yep. If yeah, not longer. The last posts were 2015.
They're all on Facebook.
Right, and that's usually the key, like, you know, when, for work. Like,
they're still on Orkut.
You know. No, that's always the key. Like, do you eat your own dog food? That's always the sign of your product isn't garbage.
The other interesting story about that this week was a previous designer of Google Plus came out, I think it was just today, and talked a bunch of shit about that team, about how it was basically in the same building as the CEO.
Yep.
They got to eat at his private vegan cafeteria. They only certain people had access to it, and that the person running the project was like a megalomaniac who he sat outside of his office for 4 years through the glass windows, never once said hi to him. And he was the guy responsible for redesigning the entire thing.
Oh, God.
And wow. How there were like weird payment targets. Like, if you built your app into Google Plus, you would get like 2 to 3 times a bonus. So that's how it became cluttered. Like, just he basically said it was mismanagement that drove it crazy.
That sounds like Google in a nutshell. Like, they have so many projects that are all contrary to each other. Like, they have Hangouts and Google Talk, and then they have Allo and Duo, and they killed Wave, and they had Google Buzz, and they're all basically different aspects of the same service.
I don't even know what half of those are.
Hopefully nobody is using any of those because they're all dead.
I use Gmail.
And it's great.
And it's great.
But not the new – not Inbox from Google.
I'm not loving
Inbox. Inbox is dead.
Inbox is dead too now. Yeah.
And the sales guy in me cried a little bit this week. I shed a tear for my fellow brethren. It's kind of like when my buddy's a firefighter and then his firefighter dies in California. Then he's sad. And I go, why are you sad? Because a firefighter died in California? Well, now I get it. Google pulled out of a $10 billion bid for the Pentagon's cloud computing services. And
So you're sad for their sales guy.
I'm sad.
I'm like, where the hell are you going with
this? This is where I'm going.
I was going to say, when you're that morbid, you should probably get to the point a little quicker.
Right. Shut up, Randy. So they
episode 269, Randy gives Bob the
Google
business.
Basically told the Pentagon they don't want their business, and it was a $10 billion contract. So there was an account team on there that would
– For a project named Jedi.
Yeah.
What does Jedi stand for?
It is the Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure. So I was trying to figure out who what the Russians would build. You had the Soviet intelligence team house. So you'd have the Sith. You'd have the Jedi and the Sith. Anyway.
Usually typical commission on that is like usually 8 to 12%. So you're going to get it between $800 million and $1.2 billion for the account team.
Yeah.
And I could pretty much see that letter coming out as they spoke going, your comp plan's being changed. Pray we don't alter it any further.
You're getting $9.
Right.
Be happy or move on.
They said they wouldn't do it because of their AI principles.
AI, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want their AI to be used to kill people.
Interesting.
Which brings us right over to our longtime friends that we love talking about at Boston Dynamic, who, like, their robots weren't creepy enough when they were running through the forest. Their robots weren't creepy enough when they were running through parking lots over cars. No. Now they've gone and taught their, let's be honest, killer effing robots parkour.
Parkour.
No, I didn't know what the hell that was. I didn't Google it.
It's running. Videos? It's the most amazing type
it's,
of running.
It's running, Bob.
No, it's street running it's where you're running. Like climbing up buildings off the side to the side.
It's what we used to call running when we were kids.
No, I ran a straight line. I never climbed up sides of buildings.
Really? You never like jumped up? You didn't do anything?
I knew I was going to fall.
Was it a James Bond or a Mission Impossible movie a couple years ago that had an intro scene that was about 10 minutes long? Where this guy just absolutely crazy free runs or parkours up crazy stuff. Like, totally worth watching if you haven't seen it. But.
Yeah, but The Office had the best parkour.
The scene of all had time. The best parkour.
Oh, absolutely. Give it a go.
All right. But either way, this robot is like jumping up these crazy bricks, running over logs.
Dude, they're going to kill us all.
And we're not going to be able to stop them.
No. Or hide from them.
Oh.
Because they can also open doors. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, though, if you just push it with a hockey stick, it just falls. And it's
no. They're better now.
Now they take the hockey stick from you and beat you with
being
it.
Being funny.
There was one today I saw a video of a snake a robotic snake that actually climbed a ladder. So it's really –
well, how soon before RoboCop becomes real?
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
But you know who's the – speaking of dumb, there's nobody that was dumb. I just made that up. Speaking of dumb
– really? Because we've got the Kanye story.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. So if you want to know – you want, like, you know, President Scroob's password, 12345? No, no. Kanye West has you beat President Scroob. His is – ready for this? 00000.
That's how you unlock Kanye's.
So when he was in the White House, he actually opened up his phone with the camera facing at him, basically just 00000.
And I wonder if he's changed it by now.
No. Because he's a genius and he likes fish sticks.
He likes fish sticks in his mouth. He's a gay fish.
But like, all of us have dumb passwords on our phones. Like, I don't know why we lock them to
people. I do not have a dumb password on my phone.
Yeah, I don't either.
I have a dumb password on my phone. I don't care either.
Speaking of phone passwords, there's an article that came out this week about facial recognition. iPhone X's, you look at them and it's not your face. It actually makes you put in a password. So there was a security firm that warned law enforcement officers not to look at iPhone X's.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Do you pick it up? It's like, oh, shit, it's an iPhone X. Like, I don't get it, but
I just have to slit your throat, then I'll hold your head up to it, then I can unlock it.
But if your eyes open,
oh,
right, exactly,
you make it blink,
right?
This is really morbid. Episode 269, the morbid episode.
I'll start squeezing you to like mimic a heartbeat, you know, like
wow, it is Halloween and stuff.
Yeah, I know, right? Theater Bazaar, you know.
Let's see. So, what was the other one? Don't care about that one, dude. I want this. I swear to God, if this is not a real thing, I'm nuking Hollywood. Like, it's all over. Like, I will go on a killing spree. And yes, I'm documenting that live on the air. Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance has to happen.
Gelflings.
Must be a thing. Give us the shot, Gelfling. Must happen. What was sundered and undone?
The only thing that I said that I thanked them for, and I never, we had this conversation 1,000 times, that I never liked that kind of genre.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, go like it. But the fact that they're doing it proper and not CGIing the hell out of it.
I'm like, thank you
that you're doing puppets.
Is that it's all like, puppets, and the only CGI that will be used is to remove the puppeteers from the shots.
Great.
That they show up in.
I thought they were just supposed to wear all black, like, jumpsuits. Like, it doesn't work anymore.
You can still kind
probably
of see them.
Watch Dark Crystal sometime.
It's really weird. I
get out, Randy.
I can't get into it.
Yeah, it's not. It's like a kombucha. You're either, you know, it's either in it. You either love it or you hate it.
It's like sour beers, Randy. It's
totally like sour beers. No, some people that downright hate it, and some people are like, oh my God, it's the most amazing thing ever.
There's no middle of the
road. There's no middle in between. And so this story made me laugh. How stupid. We always talk about BlackBerry still exists. You know, they're still creating rim jobs, and I'm kind of fine with that.
But only in Canada.
Only in Canada. But there's still some rim jobs available in Canada. But like, there's a company that's making a comeback called Palm. And
guess what I have in my closet? Guess what I have?
All the old palms.
A trio?
Other than Randy. Guess what I have in my glass?
Not in
a palm.
I have my Palm Pilot. I have my Palm Pilot Pro, bitch.
You know why I hated the Palm Pilot?
I am breaking them out.
They had batteries, and if you didn't change the battery.
Oh, yeah, double A batteries. Yeah, yeah.
You would lose all your data.
Well, yeah.
And it's just stupid. It's like you spend all this time plugging in all your phone numbers.
Even the ones without replaceable batteries, that would happen, because I had the tungsten and the Zyre. And no, those also lost your data.
Here's the dumb thing what Palm's doing. So, like, the phones have gotten so big and so clunky. Now this is a mini phone for your phone that's $10 a month more. So you only have, like a four button. I know. I heard you had a phone, dog. Like, here's a phone for your phone. So it's like a leashed. So it syncs to your phone. And it's like
kind
a,
of. Only
it's
like if a, you have an Android phone.
Right. It's like a six button mini phone.
It's almost like an Apple Watch. It's got basically a different UI that's got really large icons on it. But they charge $10 a month for it.
Yeah. But and it's $350. So give me a use case where I'm like, oh, it's like I'm thinking like those infomercials for like the picking up the eggs, you know, like, oh, you can't pick up eggs. Like, with that stupid old tool. When do I take out this phone going, oh, my phone's too big. I wish I had a small little one so I can call mom. Like, what kind of shit is this?
The article says it's
who sits in that boardroom? Sorry, Nary. Who sits in this boardroom going, you know what we need? A smaller phone that hooks up to your phone. When you don't need your big phone, you can have a small phone. Let's make it.
Every fan of Dick Tracy ever.
No!
Well, the article says it's designed to act as a lightweight substitute when you're at the gym, at the club, or spending time with your family. Also places that I use my regular effing phone.
Right. It takes calls. It makes calls. It sends and receives text messages, but it can't be your primary device.
So use your goddamn primary device.
You have to spend $350 on this, and then it can't be your only device. You also have to have bought a previous phone.
So pair that with my Note 9 that I paid $1,000 for, and yeah.
It's the dumbest thing ever. Like, yeah. If you need a phone because you have an iPad and you don't want to carry the iPad to concerts and hold it up over your head like some asshole, like, I understand that, but, like, this is just ridiculous. Now you're like, which phone should I use? I don't know. This little one looks so cute in my head. I'm just going to use this one and keep my big phone in my pocket because it's so clunky.
So, Bob, you're rushing out and buying it, right?
Yes. I wouldn't. If I wanted it at a trade show, I would sell it on eBay. Well, I would have it just go like, I got a Palm Pilot and be like, what? Like, it would be a great conversation for like sales calls, I think.
I mean, people are still clamoring for small phones. Like, these 5.5-inch, 6.5-inch phones are too big for some people. Like, women without pockets can't put these in their phones.
Pockets can't
so
put
just
them in
make
their phones.
Smaller phones.
Don't they make, do, though.
They did.
They did.
No, but, phones got smaller, and then we discovered we could watch porn on phones, and then phones got bigger.
But people still want small phones, and they're not making them.
My beer. God damn
it. And as musical devices got smaller, headphones got bigger, which never.
Right.
As the Walkman was the size of a briefcase, and you had your little teeny earphones.
Your boombox. Right?
Now you have the size of a Palm Pilot Mini. You know, you have headphones the size of my head.
Speaking of things coming back, one of my favorite applications of all time that's known for really whipping the llama's ass is coming back.
I loved Winamp.
Me too. Like, yeah, I hated
iTunes. I screw this up.
And I was really, really sad like when it no longer – like, because I do. I still have the old installs floating around. And like after Windows 8, you couldn't install it on shit anymore. Like it just wouldn't work.
I spent more time getting skins for Winamp than I did like playing music.
Of course.
See, that's what I hate about it at Winamp is the skins. There's a reason Microsoft and Apple publish human interface guidelines. Follow them. Don't make stupid skins that make your app hard to use.
It wasn't hard to use. It was awesome.
Dude, it was gorgeous.
You didn't have to use the skins,
like,
Randy.
Even the default was
you
a
could
skin.
Just
it
choose.
It didn't use native controls.
It didn't make native operating system controls.
Shut up, Randy. It was so before any of that crap. When it was cool, long before the friggin' iPhone came out.
Were you like 12 when Winamp was a thing?
Were you even alive when Winamp was out?
I was in college, yes.
I was in middle school when I had my first Winamp install. I think it was in like maybe 7th or 8th grade.
I was in the FiberNet data center. That was our – Winamp was the basically the player of choice.
Yeah.
We didn't want – like it was basically
– Screw real player.
No, I remember like the
buffering. Like buffering.
Beastie Boys buffering. Songs In From the Way Out was like
buffering.
The instrumental.
Buffering.
Never buffered.
Real
You're
player.
Thinking of real player.
No, real
oh, yeah,
player.
Yeah, totally. That was a piece of shit. Winamp was awesome.
But apparently we're going to get Winamp for iOS and Android soon, and they've updated it for Windows 10 now. So.
Yeah, they said and it's going to be backwards compatible, so that like older OSs will be able to use it too, which is awesome. So looking forward to it.
I'm so ready to whip the llama's ass again.
I am. Momentary sadness. Paul Allen, one of the co-founders of Microsoft, died.
Did he really?
He did.
Oh.
Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That just happened today.
We don't know about Paul Allen, though. He wasn't just a co-founder of Microsoft. He's huge in the Northwest. So he basically –
Oh, basketball. Yeah, yeah.
He saved football. The Trailblazers, the Northwest music scene, education, medical research, the arts. Basically, he was like a modern-day Rockefeller in the Northwest. Yeah. So,
isn't no, he the guy who killed Tech TV, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Let him rest in peace. Come on.
What do you care? And then also Sears. Filed bankruptcy this morning, which it's one of those things where like that band is still together.
Yeah.
Hurry up and get your last catalog so you can rub one more out to the underwear.
I'm not going
to
lie.
I just.
Nice, Randy.
Can't.
That was my childhood. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say shut up Randy.
Dude, the Sears.
Totally
like,
legit.
Dude, remember the Christmas thing? That and the JCPenney Christmas like would come out. And that was like
– I set the world record for like flipping to the bra section like every year. I
think even in the Christmas catalog? Well,
totally.
Sexy elf.
I went a few pages further.
That's right. He was but the
they're, no, they're spinning off Craftsman and they're going to sell that to like Lowe's and Home Depot.
They already have. Right. That was but like Whirlpool like bailed out of them.
See, I was like buying my appliances there. I don't know why. So we still did.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That was like the place you went. Really cool thing that happened this week, though. So there was a documentary, The Making of the Empire Strikes Back, that
is it out or did it get really?
No, no, no. So people thought it was lost for the better part of 40 years. And people like had referenced it and there were like clips and that kind of stuff on it. Well, some dude went to this auction and there were a whole bunch of like CDs and DVDs and that kind of stuff up and he bought them. And one of the DVDs actually contained the entire making of the Empire Strikes Back documentary. And so he owns it now, so he uploaded it to YouTube.
You can just buy, like, the raw footage and then you own it, technically?
Like, I don't know.
Is that how it works?
YouTube hasn't pulled it yet, so it's still out there.
Interesting.
But, yeah, no, it's actually really, really cool. Like, there's a lot of, like, behind-the-scenes backstage interviews with Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, a lot of the stuff about the Wampa, like, the dude in the suit and all that stuff. And, like, all just – it's just very, very cool, like, getting into, like, the, you know, the animatronics and the puppetry and then how they did the matte paintings and all that kind of stuff. I went through half of it today. It's just very, very cool stuff. Very, yeah. It's really neat.
Cool. Speaking of matte paintings and really neat stuff, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be back with Steph and Tom from the Antoinette comic series. This is the IT and the D Show.
And we'll be right back.
Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is the IT and the D Show, episode 269, hanging out in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker. Find us online at itandthed.com because we are IT and the D.
And you still aren't.
Before the ad read, I have a question. Why am I the only one whose last name gets said in the introductions?
I have no idea.
Okay. Just wondering.
Anonymity.
Somebody pointed it out the other day and I was like, I should ask about that.
Because I do the Twitter's is kind of a long, I don't know. Do you want me to not say anymore?
No, I was just wondering. It was like weird that I was the only one whose last name got mentioned on the show.
Are you done?
Why are you looking at me, David Phillips?
Are you done?
Yeah.
It's the most dead air we've ever had in 26 episodes.
Finally, a cloud. No. Hey, finally, there's a cloud platform built for you and your business. DigitalOcean offers the simplest, most developer-friendly cloud hosting solution. It's optimized to meet your needs and make managing infrastructure easy. Plus, DigitalOcean makes it easy to deploy, manage, and scale applications with an intuitive control panel and API designed for developers. So you can spend more time building great things and less time managing your infrastructure. No wonder DigitalOcean is the preferred cloud platform of hundreds of thousands of innovative companies, including Docker, GitLab, Lab and Slack. Join them along with 150,000 other businesses that are already creating amazing things going on DigitalOcean to get the infrastructure your services need to grow from predictable pricing through flexible configurations to industry-leading customer support. You can get started with a free $100 credit toward your first project and experience everything the platform has to offer, like cloud firewalls, real-time monitoring and alerts, global data centers, object storage, and the best support anywhere. Just go to do.co. That's do.co/ITinTheD to claim your credit today. Join DigitalOcean and unlock the power of simplicity. That's do.co/ITinTheD.
I feel like that was you, like Billy Ocean's, like bi.co. Billy, or like Billy Caribbean.
It's the Doco.
It's the do part. The do part is DigitalOcean.
Do not train to be merciful in this Doco.
Exactly.
Yay.
Yes.
I like how that just killed the room. That was just it.
It's what I expect whenever I try to make a joke in it these days. So we're joined by Tom and Stephanie. So Tom Hutchison, Stephanie Menard, they are doing an event on Wednesday. They're doing a signing at Comics and More, which I am completely flaking on where that is right now.
Madison Heights. Yep.
Just anywhere in Madison
John
Heights.
John R. Road.
It's just there.
Just drive around Madison Heights
and you'll find it.
You've heard the commercials, right? Comics and More, where we sell Comics and More. Comics, and beyond!
So no, they're doing a signing, and the whole thing is Tom's got yet another Kickstarter coming out for his latest comic work, which is Antoinette, and then Stephanie has just had the trade for Psychopath come out. She had issues 1, 2, and 3 out. Now there's a trade paperback out, and The Last Heist is out, which is really freaking good.
Aw, thanks. I like it.
It's pretty decent. So why a signing? What are you what?
You just changed it to pretty decent, though, so now I'm a little offended.
I said I like it, and then I said it's pretty decent.
Don't you feel like it's a step down?
No, it's fine.
I feel like it was a step down. It's fine.
Could have said it was
Comics
crap.
And More. I was going to share the link to your event, but you didn't make one.
We did. We have an event.
Comics and More didn't, though.
Oh, no.
But it's at their
space.
Well,
we made one, and yeah. We'll share
that. And they're
we'll
co-host on the event, so I don't know how that worked out, but it's out there.
Facebook sucks.
So shut up, Randy. So I guess, why a comic signing? What's the point? Why Comics and More? What are you guys doing? What's the scoop?
Well, Comics and More and Chris Brown has always been a great supporter of ours. Big Dog Inc. is my company now. So for years, we've done events with him with Free Comic Book Day and all kinds of stuff. And we did a Kickstarter launch, sort of semi-launch party back in July for A Penny for Your Soul. And as it happens, I'm leaving the Midwest to go west for the winter, essentially. So I talked to Chris. I was like, hey, look, I got time for one more event.
Before I bail.
Know, that's right. Before I get the hell out of here and you guys are covered in snow, can we do something? And he was like,
you're like the girl,
what you want to do.
You're like the girl at the bar going, I'm leaving. Can you play my song next? It's totally the equivalent.
So I guess let's start with, so what is Antoinette?
Sure. So Antoinette is in here, guys. I don't know if anybody's seen it. We'll pass this around. There's some pictures there if you see it. Basically, what we've done here is we've taken sort of the idea of the Headless Horseman and gender bent it, but we're using for our character, our lead character is Marie Antoinette.
Dude, that's
who
amazing.
Famously, lost her head at the guillotine
right.
in 1793. Now, why we're doing this
– when she chases people, does she scream, let them eat cake?
That is part of the story. There's definitely a cake.
Even though she never
this.
Actually said
she
that.
I know, she let
actually,
them
but,
eat bread.
Yeah, that's not a thing. But it's it's a pop culture thing, so we use it. We have fun with it.
We don't let facts get in the way of a good joke.
No, of course not.
We don't hear.
So we're actually launching it on a Tuesday tomorrow. And the reason is that because tomorrow is the actual date 225 years ago that she was executed. And so we're sort of honoring her oddly in her execution rather than her birthday and so on. But, her execution is why we have the story. And did you get to see the picture there?
No, I did. I've seen them
cool.
online.
Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent. So basically we are taking the Marie Antoinette story. We are starting directly at the point of her execution when she loses her head. And the story kind of takes place from there. So it's a historical fiction story in that it takes place in 1793 and the following basically, next few years or so. What I did is I went back and did a lot of research into the time period, Antoinette herself, the trial for what she was accused of treason and all kinds of other crap, the execution, and pulled all those details together. And then, of course, turned it into the supernatural fiction thing that we're going to do where we kind of make her the quote unquote headless horseman of our story.
So cool. It's kind of neat. I feel like that's a reboot I'm okay with.
Yeah, I hope so.
It never even crossed your path to even be a boot, let alone a reboot.
Yeah, I was going to say it couldn't be a reboot. I mean,
well, it's the Headless Horseman, but
it's Antoinette.
It's
though.
Uber, but for this. No. All right, so then talk to us quick, Steph, about Psychopath and The Last Heist.
Well, Psychopath have been
– Or not quick. Take your time. Whatever.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Psychopath I've been writing for a couple of years, and then I finally got the last one out. It's a mini series about what it takes to make a person break. So all three stories are now collected into a trade with a new cover and a foreword by Tom over here. And that's part of the reason why we're doing the signing together is that he was kind enough to write a foreword for me for my first trade ever. I appreciate it. And it was really nice when he sent it to me on Messenger. I got a little misty-eyed. It was very sweet.
So what does that mean, first trade ever? I don't know what that means.
Just the first collected series that you put all together. So it's just my first series that I've completed.
And got it.
Come out like the monthly floppies.
Right.
And then you get to a point where you say, well, let's put this all together into one big book. It's okay. Netflix of comics.
Oh, got it. Yeah. I buy those books. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
So instead of floppies, they're a little harder.
Right.
Just a little harder.
But a little stiffer.
That just came out. And then The Last Heist is a whole new thing. It's just a one-shot, and it's a story of three men who, are in the Old West, and they're looking to get out of a life of crime. And so they're like, oh, we got to do this one last heist and get all this money and get out. And things go sour. I'm a horror writer, so it's going to go badly. I don't know what else to tell you.
I watched so much Law and Order. I watched so much Criminal Minds, CSI, all that fun stuff. And you did. You shot me the script because you just wanted an opinion of it before it went off. Mm-hmm. I did not see the ending coming, which kind of threw me. Which was and then you got the artwork done and it looks great. And I guess that's one of the things. I know, Steph, you know, you are you. I don't want to say. you're just the writer. But like, so you know, you're the writer, and then you have other people do, you know, the artwork and all that stuff. Yes. Tom, how do you do your stuff?
Same thing. I mean, we as writers, we write our writers. Stuff.
You're a tracer.
Pretend that we matter, and then you know we go find people to make us look good. Essentially, mm-hmm. you know, because you know our words make it to the page, certainly in the balloons. But ultimately, when somebody picks up a book, like especially at like a Comic Con or a comic shop, you've got to have the art to bring them in. So you've mm-hmm. got to have the cover to bring them in, and then when they open that book up and they start flipping through the pages, they're not reading your book. They're looking at the art. They're trying to see if it's dynamic and if it draws them in. So you've got to really have something. You know, you've got to have the double shot, the cover first, mm-hmm. and then you got to catch them when they open it, and then hopefully at that point they'll take it home and then read it and they'll love it too.
Yeah, then they actually get to read your words and like, it's pretty good.
So I guess how hard is that to? Like I think of it in terms of, you know, doing a tech interview and trying to find people to join your team, that kind of stuff. Like how hard is it to find an artist that you're comfortable with? Like, because I mean, like these are my words.
These are my babies. Like, these are my children. Don't mess with my children.
Yeah, it's not as difficult as it seems because there are artists everywhere. You know, you go to Comic Cons, there's artist alleys. It's filled with hundreds of people that will literally do the work if you can.
But none of them ever look up to talk to you. So
some of them do. Well, some of them do.
That's the first barrier. You know, if they're not looking at you, you move on to who is next in line. But yeah, it basically is that. You know, you just got to go out. You got to find somebody who you think fits what you're doing. You know, if you're writing a horror book, you want a style that looks different from, you know, a Superman book or Spider-Man book. It's just you want the art style to mesh with what you're doing. That's sort of step one, and then from there, it's just kind of working it out. You know, you got to find somebody who's got the time to do it, who's got the talent to do it.
Is within your budget.
Is in your budget to do it.
Yeah.
And,
that's a big
and,
thing.
You know, that can take a while. Like I said, there's a million artists out there, but it can take a while to find somebody to actually step up and do it.
Do you audition folks or do you basically work from their previous portfolios? Like, do you say, here's my concept, draw me a frame and see, or how does that process work?
Yeah. For me anyway, I can generally figure out if they're doing what I want from their previous portfolios. Now, if I'm looking for somebody to do interior work, but all they have on their portfolio is like a bunch of cover work, then I have to see what they can do as far as a page layout, because doing panel to panel stuff on a page is much different than just one big image. So it really depends on what they show me in the samples. But if sometimes it happens, if it comes down to like, hey, I like two or three of these guys, I'm not really sure. I'll say, look, guys, I need a sample page from everybody. Show me what you can do.
It's an
earn
art
the
off.
Job, you know.
An
earn
art
the job.
Off? Is
yeah,
that what you would call it?
Yes, that's very good. Yeah, an art
just,
off.
And, I like
and,
it.
Yeah, and then we get the samples and we decide, okay, you clearly are heads and tails above the other guys, and we go with that. Now, but that doesn't mean that guy is going to necessarily last. I've hired plenty of guys who have said, yes, I want the job. Yes, I'll take this for the money. Yes, I will do this, only to have, you know, 4 months later, it's like, hey, so – where are we at?
And they've got nothing.
And that air is the response.
That never happens, does it?
Yeah, I was going to say, they either don't respond.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They ghost you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can get ghosted by artists all the time. Like when I started Psychopath, the first issue, I was new. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I met this guy at a comic convention. I really liked his work. And I'm like, okay, well, I didn't do a contract because at the time I didn't think to do a contract. You know, I paid this guy some money. I got like one page of like sequentials that were like, there was barely anything in them. And after like 2 months, and then I didn't hear from him again. So I was messaging him and trying to get a hold of him, and he just never responded. And I'm like, dude, I have to replace you. Sorry. I'm not paying you
so
any more
like
money.
So it's construction business? Go figure.
Well, it's really
your
weird.
Number came up. We worked today.
Yeah. This is why being an independent creator, contracts are so important. And I learned from that first one. I have contracts for everybody who works with me, colorists, artists, the people who do lettering, editors, like anybody who I work with.
Well, so I guess
if I'm paying you money, I want to make sure that I get what I'm paying for. And if mm-hmm. I don't, I have something in writing to make sure that I get, you know, I have a recourse.
Some sort of recourse, yeah.
Yeah, a recourse.
Well, I guess it's
yeah.
a good question. It's like how many folks are involved in this sort of thing? Like, so okay, like you write the words, and then you know, you said like, you know, inkers and letterers and all that kind of stuff. Like, what goes into putting one of these together?
My God, so much stuff. Unless you're lucky enough, because a lot of artists can do their own inks or they do digital inks. So, like for The Last Heist, Stan Yak did the, you know, the inks himself, mm-hmm. and it's gorgeous. The interior of that book is just so pretty. I love it so much. But there are other people who only do pencils and only do inks. I haven't really worked. Most people ink their own stuff that I've worked with personally, but. I mean,
Or with me, I find guys that do pencils that are just really tight, so we don't even need the inks. We pass over the inks in some cases. The general breakdown is there's a writer, there's an artist, there's an occasional inker, there's a colorist, and then there's a letterer. That's sort of the bare bones, how to make a comic mm-hmm. thing. And then you got a cover artist. Sometimes you get extra dudes like that. But like with my book, Critter, my superhero book, I actually had a guy who did the art, inks, and colors all together. He did it all. So it was basically a three-man team. It was me, him, and the letterer. So it was a real quick, let's pop this book out type of thing. So those guys are out there, but they're more the exception to the rule. So mm-hmm. you kind of have to assume you're going to have at least an artist and a colorist.
So and I guess now that I'm picking this through, like I never thought, like do you ever have to argue about stuff like font, like yeah. when it comes to like I mean, is that
I will say that I honestly I know what good letters and bad letters look like, but for the most part, everything that my guy does, HDE, he's from Europe, basically everything that he does, unless there's like a typo or something in it, I just accept it. I just look at it and go, dude, this looks epic. Yes, we're done.
He's one of the guys in the indie scene that, you know, you can pretty much he's reliable. He's good. So you don't really have to double check it.
So now you keep saying indie scene. So what's the difference between like what is the indie scene versus whatever else is out there?
We're not Marvel and we're not DC. And we're not Image.
We're not Dark Horse.
Yeah, we're not, you know, and even people will consider Dark Horse still, you know, independent. But like anybody can do this. You just have to, you know, self-publish, which is what a lot of independent creators do, or they form their own production company or publishing company.
Yeah, there's sort of like a crossover between indies and small press.
Yeah.
You know, small press starts to become some of the like the lower tier publishers, like a Scout Comics or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. There's a lot of guys that are kind of at the low end that aren't, you know, Image and you know, Aspen Comics and whatever. So there's definitely a tier of guys. And then kind of at the bottom is small press / indie dudes who do it themselves.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that gives I feel like it gives hopes to people, you know, it gave me hope. I never thought I was going to publish anything. And then I'm seeing all these people doing it on their own. I'm like, why the hell am I not doing it? I just started doing it and here it is like 4 years later and it's been insane. So you guys can all do it yourselves. If you have any questions, you can hit either one of us up, and I'm sure we can answer them for you. So
cool.
And then you can put author next to your name on Twitter. It'd be amazing.
It's a thing.
There you go.
All right. So just to make sure we get it. So again, the event Wednesday,
yes.
Comics and More, yep. John R. starts at noon. Madison Heights.
Noon yep. o'clock.
Noon yep. o'clock.
And I'll be there till 4 because I have to work. I have to be to work at 4:30, so I can only work or work that until 4 o'clock. So try to get there before then.
And your boss sucks.
I know. He's kind of a jerk.
No, he is.
Oh, yeah. Well, it should be fun. And tomorrow your Kickstarter launches. I'm really excited. I've been very lucky to get to see some behind-the-scenes art and stuff like that. It's really,
we didn't really talk about that. So why Kickstarters? Why not just make stuff and sell stuff?
Well, this gets a little intricate, but when we first started at Big Dog Inc., we did just that. We made books. We put them out through Diamond Comics, which is the only distributor in comics. And they send the books out to, you know, all the 2,000 or 3,000 stores in America. About 4 years ago, we had reached a point where we felt where we had kind of grown as far as we could grow. And we actually partnered with Aspen Comics. So we became an imprint of Aspen Comics to kind of put more eyeballs on us because they've been around for, you know, 10 years, 15 years now. They're celebrating their 15th anniversary. So we looked at this as, hey, let's partner with this, put some more eyeballs on our work. And it worked. It absolutely worked. But with them having sold half of the company now to a movie studio, me and Frank had a talk and there was just no way to do more Big Dog stuff when they had to focus on Aspen. So we broke out last year. And for me, it was a situation where I was looking at the industry over the last 4 years trying to figure out, okay, do I just do it again? You know, do I just say, hey, well, we're going to put the books out. We're going to send them through Diamond. We're going to have the stores. But the marketplace right now is so saturated with publishers, it's so saturated with books that, you know, if you look at the Diamond Top 300, it's brutal, the numbers that are there. And the reality is that a lot of these publishers, when they're putting books out, if you're only selling, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 copies, you're not making any money. Like, you're literally not making any money. And so I had to really consider, if I put my books back on the market just, you know, overnight, which we could do. Diamond's happy to bring us back anytime we want. I just didn't see any advantageous reason to do it.
Where's
that
the ROI?
Way. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, with the advent of Kickstarter, it basically allowed me to sort of skip. I mean, Kickstarter is still technically the middleman, but kind of allowed me to skip the middleman and deal directly with our fan base. You know, it's me making a book, me selling it directly to them, as opposed to me making a book, selling it to Diamond at, you know, 60% off cover price,
right,
and then, and so on and so on and so on. So it's a me to them direct sales, direct contact. You know, same with Comic Cons. You know, it's me putting the book in your hand and saying, "Hey, this is a cool book. Here it is." So, you know, Kickstarter lets us as creators go directly to the market and find the people that, you know, are interested in what we do. And that's really it. You know, I don't have a problem with the idea of going back into Diamond, but it has to make sense to do it. And right now, the marketplace is so just roller coaster that, you know, I would much rather just concentrate on my fan base and work to build that directly with them. And so far, the results have been incredible. We've done 5-6 Kickstarters in the last year. They've
they
all
seem
been
to
successful.
Go well.
We've done we've done well and better every time. Yeah. So, you know, people are catching on. And really, the crazy part is when we were selling books through Diamond, we would sell, you know, anywhere between 5,000 to 8,000 units, you know, for an issue. But even at that number, you know, you're not making it like a ton of money back because of that huge cut that Diamond takes.
Yeah, the distributorship. Yeah,
yeah, right, exactly. So now with our Kickstarters, we hit 420 odd backers on the Penny for Your Soul one that we just did in July. And we made more money on that with those 400 people than we ever would have on 5,000 units through Diamond.
Crazy.
So it just changes. It's a completely, you know, changes the game of what creators are able to do. Now, that doesn't mean that every book that you put on Kickstarter or Indiegogo or whatever you use is going to be, you know, sort of an overnight hit or anything.
Right.
You know, you still have to have infrastructure for what you're doing. You know, you've got to have a plan for not only what you're doing now, but what comes next. You've got to figure out how to do all your fulfillment because we got to ship all this stuff out to everybody ourselves. So there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes, not just making the book, but then, you know, just getting this stuff out to people. It's a huge undertaking. So you've got to be really ready to do it. But, you know, if you are really serious about self-publishing, that's the place to start. Even if you just need like a couple thousand to you know, just print your book. There's a completely different audience that is buying comics on Kickstarters, and those guys do not necessarily translate 100% over to either retail stores or comic cons or whatever. It's a completely different segment of the audience. And if you're not trying to attack every segment of the audience that you possibly can, whether it's readers, whether it's collectors, whether it's art collectors, whether it's Kickstarter supporters, if you're not trying to get your fingers in all of those segments, then you're doing yourself a disservice.
You're missing out.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, and honestly, I feel like I have to mention, you know, it was our conversation, basically a round table that looked very much like this, at Motor City Comic Con, that was the trigger for Tales from the Con side.
Yeah.
Which we haven't done any of the Spider Armageddon story that I still fondly remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. So, I mean, okay. So the event's Wednesday. Tom, where do we find you online?
Yeah. So I'm on Facebook under my own name, Tom Hutchison, or there's a Big Dog Inc. fan page, Big Dog Inc. with a K. I am Critter's Daddy on Instagram, TGH Big Dog Inc. on Twitter. That's the primary things that we do.
And Steph, where do we find you?
Instagram, Stephanie_Menard. You can find me on Facebook under my name too. I have a fan page, but I don't really, I started it, but I don't really just find me on my regular Facebook page. It's way easier.
Well, and you have the Way Station.
That's what Stephanie Menard asked you to like her page, Stephanie Menard. I'm like, no, I'll never do that.
Damn it, Bob. but yeah, Instagram or Facebook.
Cool.
Those two ways to find me.
But hey, before we wrap things up, I want to say a quick story. You know, my entire life, I've been fat, drunk, and stupid. A few years back, I found out I was actually going bald, and I'm not happy because those four things are the kiss of death. The thing is, once you start to notice your hair loss, it's way too late. Thanks to science, it can be an option with 4hims.com. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat baldness. These are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions. This is not snake oil crap or MLM crap or stuff you see at 3 in the morning on TV. No waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Those are the worst. Just answer a quick question and chat with a doctor for a confidential review. Then products are shipped directly to your door. Do us a favor. Listeners get a free trial of 4hims for $5 right now while supplies last. Do us a favor. This would cost actually hundreds if you went to the doctor, or like $8,000, I said, if we did those
right
AstroTurf plugs in your head. So do us a favor. Go to 4hims.com/inthed. That's forhims.com/inthed. Thank you for your support. And we're going to wrap things up for this episode 269. We'd like to thank Stephanie Menard, Tom Hutchinson for hanging out with us. We'd also like to thank our sponsors, the NSA. We love you. We really do.
You might as well apply for their job.
Please don't.
They already know you're
please
listening.
Please don't track us. Yeah, no. DigitalOcean and 4hims. On behalf of Bob, Dave, Nuri, and Randy Walker, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you soon. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Onan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. Run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? No! Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me. I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.